Right, we're holding the chat with Membog Amrala. We were talking about the dinim of Zimun, of reinvention, and so now the Gemara is going to start off with something having to do with more the question of who actually is the one who should be leading venturing, and then we'll get back to dinim involving Muzamin. The Gemara says, Rav Zera Cholash, Rav Zera one time wasn't feeling well. All the Gabera Abohu, and Zera Abohu came to visit him. Kabilale, Rav Abohu, accepted on himself. He made a promise. E mitpach ptina horish shoki. If the small one with the burnt feet, and we'll say in a second why Rav Zera was called that, if he gets better, avidna yom tovel rabbanon, then I will make a yom tov. I will make a party for the chachamim to celebrate. Now, why is Rav Zera called that? So it actually refers to a gemara in Bava Metzia. Ptina means the small one, which he was in fact short. In fact, Marshall points out that's why he was called Rav Zera. Rav Zera is short for Rav Zera, which means the small one. He was physically short. As far as Chorish Shoki, it actually refers to a gemara in Bava Metzia that tells how Rav Zera wanted to find out whether he's going to be impervious to the fires of Gehenna. Is he going to be, after 120, is he going to have to go through Gehenna or not? So what he used to do is, he would every 30 days, as Mara says there, he would fire up an oven, go sit inside the oven after it was fired up, after it was hot, but anyway, you know, and then that was like, a fire in there, whatever, and nothing would happen. And that way, he knew that if nothing happens to him, then nothing's going to happen to him as far as fire and Olam Haba either. One time, it says, the other Chachamim saw him doing that, and they inadvertently, I guess, gave him an Ayin Hara, and then that time his feet got burnt. So from then on, the nickname for him was Ketina Chorich Shoki, the small one with the burnt feet. Because he knew, he obviously tried it out first with an oven that's not hot enough to kill him. In any case, it probably wasn't the kind that was hot enough to kill him in the first place. It would burn him if there was a problem, and that one time it did, but ordinarily not. So that became his nickname. You actually have a Gemara in Sanhedrin where there are some local Buryonim, some local wild people who nicknamed him that very insultingly. Here, Rav Abohu obviously is not using the name to insult him. So there's a couple of possibilities that various Achronim talk about why indeed Rav Abohu is using that nickname over here. One of them, in fact, the Chiddush says, related to that. Given that we see that after all he does have that source, that ordinarily the fire doesn't harm him, and it's only that one time, then that shows there's tremendous schusim. So therefore, Rav Abohu is invoking those schusim, that therefore he should recover in the schus of that. A couple of the other beforeshim talk about in various veins about the idea that the chachamim kind of felt themselves kind of to blame over here. The fact that one time he got his feet burnt is their fault because they gave him an Ayin Hara inadvertently. So therefore, Rav Abohu is mentioning that not to insult Rav Zera, but just the opposite, like to highlight, like, you know, we have a certain responsibility towards him now, and therefore, when he's sick, then we have an extra responsibility to make sure that he recovers. Okay, so Rav Abohu promised that he's going to make a party for the Chacham. Sure enough, Rav Zera recovered. Avad Sodasa L'Kula Rabbanan. So Rav Abohu kept his end of the deal and made a party, made a soda for all the Rabbanan. Ki Matalam Mishri, when it came time to make the bracha hamoti and eat, the Mishri means to begin. Rashi says, Lishna de Shirusa. The word Shirusa in Aramaic means a meal. So Ki Matalam Mishri, when it came time for the meal, when it came time to start the actual meal, namely to, Shirusa is a meal. Shir means singing, sure, but Shirusa also means meal. So when it came time for the meal, Amalele Rav Zera Lishri Lonmar, so Rav Abohu says to Rav Zera, would you please begin the meal for us? Would you say the Bracha Hamotzi and cut the bread? Amalele, but Rav Zera didn't want to. He says, L'Savol Amar L'Hod Rav Yechanan, don't you hold of what Rav Yechanan says. Rav Yechanan was Rav Abohu's render. D'Amal Balabayis Beteah. Where Rav Yechanan says the Balabayis should be the one to cut the bread, ideally, because that way he'll give out generous portions to everybody. Okay, Sharol, who said Rav Abohu started the meal and cut bread for everybody? Ki Motel of Aruchi, then when it came time for benching, Omelin Nibrich Lonmar. So Rav Abohu again offers Rav Zera to lead benching, to bench, again, to do the Mezuman, which, as we said, would be that he would be saying the brachos and everybody else would just be listening and answering. I mean,
by the way, that's the halacha.
Hold on. Again, didn't want to. He says, don't you hold of what Rav Huna from Bavel said? This is the regular Rav Huna. This is the regular Rav Huna in Shas. Rav Zera is living in Eretz Yisrael now, so therefore he calls him Rav Huna of Bavel. But it just means plain Rav Huna in Shas. So Rav Huna says, who says the one that cut the bread should be also the one to lead benching. So you, Rav Abahu, were the one to cut the bread, therefore you should also be the one to lead benching.
Many times, actually, the one who cuts the bread,
the Balabai,
gets the bench into someone else.
Ah, wait, one second. So the Ihu commands Firle. Okay. So what was Rav Abahu thinking when he offered Rav Zera to say Hamotzi and then to bench? Didn't he know about what Rav Yechanan says, and didn't he know about what Rav Huna says? The answer is he holds the Amr Rav Yechanan Meshum Rav Shimon Yechoi. He holds like another statement that Rav Yechanan says in the name of Rav Shimon Yechoi, Balabayas by Seha. It is true that the Balabayas should be the one cutting the bread, but the guest should be the one to lead benching. Balabayas by Seha, Kadesh Yiv Sabayin Yochel. The Balabayas should be the one to cut the bread, because that way he'll give out generous portions to everybody. If it's somebody else, he may not know how much bread is available, and therefore he may not give out. But Orach Mavarech, on the other hand, the guest should be the one to lead benching. Kadesh Yavarech Balabayis, in order that he should be the one doing benching, he will give a bracha to the Balabayis. The Tosfos first of all points out that the two statements of Rav Yechanan don't really contradict each other. Rav Yechanan is saying Balabayas Beitseya. He's also saying the one who's Beitseya should be the one leading benching. So if the Balabayas is with them, then he should if the Balabayas is with them, then it's not necessarily going to be the same person. Then the Balabayas should be Beitseya and the guest should be Mavarech. So that's Rav Yechanan's second statement. If the Balabayas is not with them, then the greatest person who's present over there should be saying Hamotzi and also Birkas Hamazim. So that's the thing. Rav Abahu felt, yes, I'm the Balabayas over here, but among other things, there's a few possibilities that Rishonim bring up. One is that he felt Rav Zera is greater than him, so he deserves to be the one. Rav Zera was a colleague. He's a colleague, but he felt that Rav Zera was greater than him. You find in other places in Shas that Rav Abahu famously was very humble, and he considered the other Chacham greater than him. You also have, so that was one reason for him to offer Rav Zera. Another reason was because the whole party was being made in Rav Zera's honor, so therefore, in effect, Rav Zera is kind of like the Balabayas up here. The fact that they made the party because of his recovery, so in a certain sense, he can be considered the Balabayas. And there's other considerations also. We find elsewhere that Rav Zera was a Kohen, so that might have been another reason to honor him as well, because of Kiddushin. So there's a few different possible reasons why Rav Abahu wanted to honor Rav Zera with this, but again, we're saying Rav Zera turned it down. Okay. We're saying that the guest should be giving a bracha to the Balabayas during benching. My Mavarech, what's the nusach that he should be saying in benching? So it goes like this. May it be Hashem's will that the Balabayas should not be embarrassed in this world, and he shouldn't be humiliated in Olam Haba. So that's the basic thing. It's a pretty big bracha that he shouldn't be embarrassed in this world or shamed in the next world. That includes a lot of different things. But the Gemara continues, but Rebbe Moses Badvarim, Rebbe would add more phrases to the bracha. He would continue, that the bracha to the Balabayas also includes he should be very successful with all of his possessions. His possessions and ours should be successful, and they should be close to the city. The advantage of them being close to the city, it actually points out, is that this way it's easy to check on them and make sure that everything is going well with them. You actually have a Gemara elsewhere in Chulin that talks about the importance of a person checking over his property every day to make sure that nothing is going wrong with it. You have stories in the Gemara over there where Amoraim were able to save themselves from significant financial loss by doing that. Of course, it also means on a deeper level that a person has to make a daily cheshbon on that fish. But whatever, the point is, when his possessions, when his property is close and it's easier to check up on it. The Sutton should not have any power, or not just the Sutton, but any adversary shouldn't have any power over Lev Maisi Yadav, not in the work of his hands, Lev Maisi Adenu, or in the work of our hands. Ba'al yizdaker lelefanav lelefanenu. There shouldn't appear. There shouldn't stand up. Yizdaker means stand up in front of him or in front of us. Shumdvar hirur chet ba'aver of oven. Any matter of a thought of sin or avera or oven. Me'atavad olam from now and forever. So it's a nice bracha, and you actually find some sedurim where they have that. You find some sedurim where they have that nusach for the oilach to say when he's leading benching. In our sedur, we don't have the alphabet, we didn't put it. In our sedur, instead, we always say, harachmoni varachas es avi mori bala baifazeh, es imi merosi bala baifazeh. We say that, by the way. In the Velt, they say that only if a person is actually eating by his parents' table.
I don't understand why we should say avi morasi baifazeh.
Okay, so the real reason is the Friedrich Rebbe wrote in a letter about this, that somebody asked him, why on earth are we saying avi mori and imi merosi, even if our parents already passed away? And the gist of the answer, the Friedrich Rebbe answers, is that all of those harachmons going in order from harachmon and yimlech lein aloin and bar, etc., are all actually referring to the spheres, going from Malchus, going all the way from Malchus all the way up to Kesef. So in that sense, Avimori and Inimerosi represent Chochmah and Bina. So therefore, so we say, Avimori balabais hazeh, Inimerosi balabais hazeh, right. But we're not just referring to the physical house and the physical table that we sat at. We're referring also to the ruchniyistika components, the 10 spheres that are associated with the food and with the table and everything that we just sat, that we just ate at. So therefore, we say Avimori and we say Inimerosi, even if they've already passed away and even if they're not the Bala Habayis. So that's how it is.
By eating by someone else.
So even if you're eating by somebody else, on minag is that we still say Avi Mordi and Imi Merah.
So it's not for the Balabais. So in
one sense it's for the Balabais, but in another sense, if you're always saying for Avi Mordi and Imi Merah, which refers defines to a person's physical parent, and there is a concept also, there's a concept called Mechabde Bechayim or Mechabde Bemoisa, that even after a person's parents have passed away, you still have to give them covered. And this is an expression of the Apid Eber writes in a letter. But the Friedrich Eber writes also that it refers to the spirits as far as Balabais Hazeh refers Balabais Hazeh and Balabais Hazeh then refer to the actual host and hostess of wherever you eat. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do. But we don't actually have this nusach in our
sedur. So actually, what you're saying is like the two statements are somehow separate.
Sort of. That's Avi Mori and then Balabais Hazeh. Right. Okay. Next, the question is, Ad Heichan Birkas HaZimun, how far, and by the way, returning, by the way, to this matter of the Balabais Berteah, there is also, first of all, again, Tosfos has pointed out that if the Balabais is not with them, then obviously there's no Balabais Berteah, but besides that also, first of all, the Balabais can honor somebody else to do it, as we saw in our Gemara, and besides, which nowadays is a bit less of an issue of this Berteah B'ayin Yoko, because anyway, you have there's plenty of food, and because you cut standard 5 pieces of challah, for everybody. So usually in practice, you usually have the Balabais as Beit Seah anyway, but it's less necessary, it's less relevant today than okay. We Ad Heichan Birkas HaZimun. Up till where is Birkas HaZimun? So Rashi understands the question to be like this. We're talking about Mezuman in this text. So the question is, what part of benching do we not say if there's not a Mezuman? Now, this is going to be Rashi's explanation. We're going to talk about soon that Tosfos has a whole different explanation of this Gemara and of a few subsequent Gemaras that we're going to have today. But right now, let's start with Rashi. Up until what point do you not say if there's not a mezuzah? Rav Nachman Amar Ad Nevorich, Rav Sheshes Amar Ad Hazon. So Rav Nachman says you don't say the part until Nevorich. You don't say the whole part, which is the inviting other people to join him in benching. Rav Sheshes says you don't say until Hazon. So according to Rav Sheshes, in other words, when there's no mezuman, you are not saying the first bracha of benching. You're not saying the bracha, the bracha that begins Baruch Atah Hashem and ends Hazon HaTakar. You're starting with Noidik. That Tosfos has a big problem with Rashi on that. I mean, the bracha Hazon is the Raisa, and various other questions Tosfos has also, but what's the logic that if there's no mezuman, you're not going to say Hazon? So let's first learn through the Gemara, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about how Tosfos understands. Okay. So anyway, so Rav Nachman says till Nevorich, Rav Sheshes says till Hazon. So what's his name of the Tanoi? Would we have to say that this is actually like a Machlokes Tanoi? The Tanoi Chod, Birkas Hamazon Shnayim Ushloisha. One Braisa says that Birkas Hamazon is 2 or 3, and we have to figure out what the 2 or 3 means. The Tanoi Yidach Shloisha V'Aba. One says it can be 3 or 4. What do we mean two or three versus three or four? Savrua. We assume for purposes of the question, Bekole Alma HaTova Meitiv Labda Raisiri, that everybody would agree that the Bracha HaTova Meitiv, the fourth Bracha of benching, is not Daraisa. As you mentioned briefly yesterday, and we're going to learn more and more detail on Daf Memches, that Bracha was instituted in Yavne after the Haruge Beta were allowed to be buried. So therefore, so you have opinions over there that the whole thing is only Derabanan. So my lot, so in that case, then in other words, midaraisa benching consists of only three brachas. And if you add mizuman, then that in effect constitutes a fourth bracha, because you're saying you're blessing Hashem in it. If you have a mizuman, right, then in effect when you say Yehishem Hashem Nevorach Matzav Adolam, Nevorach Shachal Mishaloi, Baruch Shachal Mishaloi Tzavachino, all that in effect constitutes a fourth bracha. So my lav b'hokamisvigi. So if we have one bride that says two or three, and the other one says three or four, manda omashtayim b'shalosh. The bride that says two or three, it kasover and hazon. He holds that if there's no mezuman, you'd start after hazon. You don't say anything until hazon when you don't have a mezuman. So therefore, according to him, in other words, it comes out when you have a mezuman, then you say like this, the Nevorech Alekeinu and all that, the what we say from Mezuman, plus the first bracha of benching, all constitutes one bracha, which is all associated with Zimun. So therefore, you have, when there's a Mezuman, you have that. You have Noidelacha as the second bracha. You have Rachem as the third bracha. And that's it. So that's three. When there's no Mezuman, then you don't have that at all. Then you only have two brachas, one beginning with Noidelacha and one beginning with Rachem. So that would be what the bracha means, two or three. Or Manda Omer, Shalosh Va'arba. So, and then if you have a mizuman, then you do say them. So then you have three or two or three respectively. And the one who says three or four holds that nevorech and baruch shalchal is considered a separate bracha of its own. So when you have a mizuman, you have nevorech, you have the bracha hazan, you have the bracha hazan sakol, you have the bracha beginning noidelacha, and you have the bracha beginning rachim. And then if there's no mizuman, then you leave out the first one because there's no nevorech. So then you only have three. So then, in that case, those brises would reflect the two. So those brises would correspond to the two opinions of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes.
The second day doesn't talk about.
Neither one is talking about a Tov Ameitiv. Both of them are assuming that a Tov Ameitiv is only the Rabbanon, and we're not counting it because we're dealing with what you have Daraisa. So if that's the case, then these two opinions in the brisa exactly correspond to the opinions of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. The answer is no. The answer is what? Rav Nachman retires to Taimei, Rav Sheshes retires to Taimei. Actually, no. Both Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes can explain that both brises go according to their respective opinions. Rav Nachman retires to Taimei. Rav Nachman, who says that the only thing you leave out when you don't have a mezuman is the Nevorech and the Baruch Shalchanu, that he would explain the brises like this. The Kulei Alma Ad Nevorech. Both brises agree that what you say for Zimun is only until Nevorech. If there's no zimun, then you start Baruch HaTashem. Manda Omer Sholosh Va'arba Shapir. So the brisa that says three and four, we understand it very simply. You have four brachas, namely Nevorech, Baruch HaTashem, Noidelacha, and Rachem, if there's a mezuman, and three if there's not, fine. So that brisa we understand easily. Or Manda Omer Shtayim B'Sholosh, the brisa that says two or three, Rav Nachman is saying, it doesn't mean that you skip Hazan. It means we're talking about that brisa that mentions two or three is talking about when you have workers, which as we've learned before, the Amamar, we said before that workers who are hired by the day or by the hour or by the job or whatever, they do an abbreviated form of benching because they have to get back to work as soon as possible. The Amamar, and we learn in a brisa, the way they work it is Paseach Bahazon. They start out by saying the full bracha hazon. Then the kolo boni yishlaim of birchas ha'aretz, and then instead of saying separately birchas ha'aretz, which is noyd levacha, and the bracha for yishlaim, which is rachem Hashem alakenu, instead they combine those two together into one bracha, and they stop there, and they don't say the fourth bracha. So therefore, according to that, it comes out. So sometimes they would say two, sometimes they would say three. If there's a mezuman, then they would have three. They'd have Nevorech, they'd have Hazan, and they'd have the combination of Noida and Rachem, which is jammed together into one bracha, so that's three. If there's no mezuman, then they only have two, Hazan and the combined bracha. Mm-hmm. So Rav Nachman would say that everybody would agree that when there's a mezuman, you say Nevorech and Baruch, and when there's no mezuman, that's the only thing you leave out. Is that you always, mezuman or not, you're always going to say all the brachas eventually. That would be a coincidence of Nachman. Rav Sheshis retires to Tameh. Meanwhile, Rav Sheshis will understand the brachas according to his opinion, where, again, he's saying that if there's no mezuman, you don't say the bracha hazan. So to kula alma ad hazan, everybody would agree that with a mezuman, you say until hazan, and without a mezuman, you don't. You begin with no delacha. Manda oma shtayim v'shalish, shafir.
This is according to Rashi, right?
This is according to Rashi. Wait, we'll still get to Tosfos, yeah. So the opinion that says, so according to Rav Sheshis, the braisa that says two or three, shapir, is easily understandable. It means sometimes you say two brachas, sometimes three, because sometimes you're saying just noida and rachim. Sometimes you're saying also nevorech, sometimes you're saying nevorech plus hazanah sakol, which according to Rav Sheshis is the entire birkas hazimun. That whole thing constitutes the birkas hazimun. Nevorech and hazanah sakol, right? So according to him, you have sometimes you say that, sometimes you don't. Manda Omer Sholosh V'Arba, whereas Rav Sheshis would say the Braisa that mentions three or four Kasaba Tov Vamotiv Doraisa. Very simple. That Braisa would hold that the Bracha Tov Vamotiv is actually Doraisa. Yes, the Nusach of it was made up in Yavne, but the same way as the Nuschos of the other Brachas were made in later times, we're going to learn later on Daf Mem Chet that the Nusach of the first Bracha was composed by Moshe, and the second one by Yeshua, and the third one by David and Shlomo. But everybody agrees that the first three Brachas eventually are Doraisa. So they would say, Minatora, you had to say something, so something on the theme of the food that Hashem gave you, something on the theme of Eretz Yisrael that Hashem gave us, something on the theme of, that would be Noga, something on the theme of your Shalayim and the Bis Mikdash, that would be Rachim. So in the times of the Bis Mikdash, they would have said a bracha that Hashem should continue to have his Shina in your Shalayim and continue to accept our and then continue to preserve Malchus Bis Dovid. And then after the Bis Mikdash was destroyed, then it changed to how we have it now. And then at various times, the Chachamim of the generations composed an actual text for those brachas. But according to that, so we're going to have later on, the Gemara is going to discuss, is the same thing true of Atov Vametiv? Is it that the Torah tells us that you have to say some sort of bracha at the end of benching, thanking Hashem for the good that he does, and later on the Chacham came up with a text for it? Or is it that not? The whole fourth bracha is the Rabbanan. So Rav Sheshis would say that the second braisa over here holds that it's daraisa. So therefore, the second braisa would be saying, sometimes you say three, sometimes you say four. If you're benching without a mezuman, you start from noida, so then you only have three brachas. If you're benching with a mezuman, then you start from nevarech and include hazanah sakol, so you have four brachas.
So if you bench alone, you would say noida.
Then you would say noida, rachem, and baruch. Okay. So both braisas could work according to both of them. Now, so again, this is all according to Rashi. Now, Tosfos has a big problem with that. What are you going to say? A person who's benching without a mezuman does not say the bracha hazan. The bracha hazan is the raisa. We always talk about a person saying three brachas to benching. It's hard to say that that's only when there's a mezuman. And in practice, the halacha is like Rav Sheshis against Rav Nachman. And the fact is, we see that a yachid always says three brachas. Okay, so Tosfos has a different explanation. We're referring back to...
We always say the bracha.
So one second, yeah. So Tosfos learns we always say the bracha hazanah sakol. The machlokes over here is about a case we learned on Memhei Yom Beis, where you have a case, suppose you have three people eating together, and let's say two of them decide they want to bench, and one of them is not ready to bench yet. So we said one of them has to break off eating and wait until the other two finish and wait until the other two make their mezuman, and then he can resume eating. So the question is, how long does he have to wait? Does he have to wait only until they finish Nevorech and Baruch Shachan Mishaloi? And as soon as they finish Baruch Shachan Mishaloi to Rechayinu, then he can resume eating. That would be what Rav Nachman is saying. Whereas Rav Sheshis would be saying he has to wait and stop eating until Hazanah Sakol.
Everyone would agree
that he himself has to say Hazan of Hakol, but the question is whether he has to wait until they finish Hazan. So if that's the case, then you actually have a machloikus rishonim who the halacha is like. Whether the halacha is like a Nachman or like Rav Sheshis.
Regarding
this, according to what Tosfos is saying, in this case, when you have one person who's pausing in his meal to listen to mezuman, does he have to only listen until they say Baruch Shachan Mishloach to Vafeinu, or does he have to actually wait until they finish Hazanah Sakol? If you say the halacha is like Rav Nachman, and there are Rishonim who say that way, then it would mean once they finish Baruch Shachan Mishloach to Vafeinu, they can resume eating. Technically, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's the halacha. However, that Amar says that the Minhag HaOlam is like Rosh Hashanah, like Tosfos is understanding the Rosh Hashanah, that he has to wait until Hazanah fulfills. And that's how we do it in practice. When you have Maisim B'chol Yom, that people make a Mizuman, other people are still in the middle of eating, so they wait until Hazanah fulfills, and then only then do they resume eating.
So that's the halacha.
Then on Amud Beis, Tosfos mentions another point. Okay, well, when we get to Amud Beis, actually, we'll talk about another explanation that Tosfos mentions that's relevant to this. As far as the two and three, then, given that Tosfos doesn't understand that we ever skip a bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, then Tosfos has a whole different understanding of what the two or three would mean, respectively. And here you have the Rif, Tosfos quotes, the Rif also understands it this way, and so do most Yerushalmim. That the two and three that we're referring to is, suppose you have a bunch of people that are benching together, but suppose that not one of them knows all the brachas of benching. Remember, mizuman in those days meant that one person says the brachas and it's mostly everybody else, because they answer amen, because he knows. What if you have a bunch of people over there where not one of them knows all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei? So therefore, shnayim u'shloisha would be like, so therefore, a braisa that says shnayim u'shloisha would mean that, again, you have the mezuman plus the bracha hazonat hakol all counts as one bracha. So therefore, if you have somebody who knows that whole nusach, then he can be saying the mezuman plus the bracha hazon, and then somebody else can take over for noida, and somebody else can take over for rachim.
So because
that way, in other words, you have one person knows only one bracha, and then one person knows only another bracha. So shnayim u'shloisha would mean, in other words, that the maximum number of people that you can have after the mezamin to finish benching would be two more. If we say that hatov ha'meitzer is not deraisa, so we're ignoring it for our purposes, then it would mean the first person starts off and says mevorech and baruch. And he continues the coincidence of Sheshes with Birkas Hazan, because the coincidence of Sheshes, Birkas Hazan is part of Mezuman as well, so he has to be able to say it. If he doesn't know that Nusach, then he cannot be leading benching, even if he knows the Nusach of Nevorech and Baruch. Then, though he doesn't know the Nusach of Noda Lacha, so somebody else can be saying Noda Lacha, so one of the other three can be saying Noda Lacha, another one can be saying Rachem, and that works. What you can't do is you can't split up a bracha among two people. So therefore, so the braisa that says two or three would mean that you have the maximum number of people that could be benching and being motzi. Everybody else is three, one for each bracha. Whereas the coincidence of Nachman, who says that Nevorech, excluding Atzeres Hamekev, whereas the coincidence of Nachman, that Zimun itself is only until they say Baruch Shachan Mashalot to Rechayinu, then he would say the maximum number of people that you could have that would be benching would be four. Namely, you have one would do the Mizuman, but he doesn't know the Nusach of any of the Brachas. Then a second person will say the Bracha Hazanah Fakol. A third one will say Noda Macha, and a fourth one will say Rachim. And that works, but not more than that, because again, you can't split up a Bracha among two people. So according to Tosfos, that's the meaning of the two and three versus three and four. Getting back to, we said that the bracha tova meitiv is not deraisa. So we said there's machlokas whether it's deraisa or not. So Amar of Yosef teda. So Rav Yosef says, I can prove to you actually that hatova meitiv is not deraisa. The hatova meitiv lav deraisa. Shadei poilim okramosa. We just said that when workers are eating and finishing up in a hurry, and then they're benching an abbreviated benching, we said they don't say the bracha tova meitiv. If Tato Vamekiv in some form was Daraisa, then they should be saying it as well. So the fact that not, says Rav Yosef, shows that it's Darabon. Om Rav Yitzchak Pashmur, Bamarite Meshmeh Rav, Teda, Tato Vamekiv, Lav Daraisa. Here's another proof that the Baruch Tato Vamekiv is not Daraisa. Because you see that you begin by saying Baruch Ata Hashem, but you don't end it with Baruch Ata Hashem. Now, When you think about it, the first bracha of benching begins with Baruch Ata Hashem and ends Baruch Ata Hashem Hazanat Hakol. The second and third brachas do not begin with Baruch Ata Hashem, because we're going to have now the rule about bracha smucha l'chavata, about one bracha that follows immediately on another one, where then the rule is we don't say Baruch at the beginning of the second one.
The first Baruch goes on.
The first one counts for the second one, right? But what you have is, though, when it comes to the fourth bracha of benching, you are beginning it with Baruch Ata Hashem.
Which is
awesome. If it was, no, the bracha of Ameitiv.
Yeah.
if it was daraisa, meaning that it was always part of benching, then you should be then you shouldn't begin with baruch because it would be a bracha smocha l'chaverta. The fact that you do shows that it's a separate bracha.
That's another proof that
the fourth bracha is not daraisa. Kibitanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa.
Why? It could be a separate bracha midaraisa.
No, because then there would be no reason. When the chachamim composed the text for it, for them to put baruch at the beginning of it. The fact that they
would be a chavrusa could go until, let's say, three brachas.
No, it doesn't work that way.
It could go indefinitely.
Think of it. So you have the brachas of Shimon Esrei. You have 19 brachas in a row, and now one of the first one becomes a baruch, right?
Yeah, but
Shimon Esrei
doesn't.
No. It's the same kind of thing.
So
as long as there's smucha l'chaverta. Now we're going to deal with that rule. Because it's Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, kol ha-brachas kulam peseach ben baruch v'chosim ben baruch. All brachas, we begin baruch atah Hashem and we end baruch atah Hashem. Chutz mi-birkas ha-peiros, except for the bracha on fruit, where it's just one line. So we say baruch atah Hashem, borei, whatever, and nothing else. Or Birkas HaMitzvahs, and the bracha on mitzvahs, same thing, is just a one-line bracha. All of them.
Trillin,
Tzitzis, Trillin, Talis, Sukkah, Lishav HaSukkah, Lulav, Matzah, etc. All of them are one-line bracha, so it just begins Baruch Ata Hashem. Or bracha smucha l'chaberta, and a bracha that's next to another bracha, a bracha that immediately follows on another bracha, then you don't say Baruch at the beginning of it. Ubracha achrona shel Kriyishma, as well as the last bracha of Kriyishma, the Emes V'yatziv or Emes V'emunah, or by night Hashivenu. So of those, Yesh Mehen Shpaseach Ben Baruch, the Ein Chosim Baruch. Some of them you begin with Baruch and don't end with Baruch. For example, Birkas Hakeres and so forth. You just say Baruch Ata Hashem. For example, you don't say afterwards another Baruch Ata Hashem, but it's just a one-line bracha. It just has one basic theme in it, so there's no reason that you have to finish off afterwards. When do we say that you have a bracha that you say something and then at the end you say Baruch Ata Hashem? When the bracha is longer, when it includes more themes or more topics in it. So among these brachas that we just listed, some of them begin with Baruch and don't end with Baruch. Again, it's a one-line bracha. It's not considered that long. It's all basically one praise to Hashem. That Hashem didn't make anything lacking in his world, and it created beautiful trees and beautiful people for people to enjoy. So, yeah. Okay. The Yeshman shechoysim ben baruch ve'in peseach lebaruch. On the other hand, you have some brachas that you end with baruch, but you don't begin with baruch. This is the case of brachas smucha l'chaverta. For example, again, you have the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are an example of that. Another example Rashi points out is the last bracha after Shema. So in that case, it's considered a brachas smucha l'chaverta because you have the brachas of Shema before it. Shema itself is not considered a hefsek between them.
Is it considered a bracha?
No, Shema itself is not a bracha, but it's not considered a hefsek between them because the brachas refer to, the brachas are not, the brachas actually in and of themselves don't refer to Shema. In fact, we learned earlier in the Masechta that Rashba points out that they don't, and the Alphabet brings that in Shulchan Aruch, and not in Shulchan Aruch and Tanya, that there is actually a concept that in a certain sense, the brachas of Shema don't directly relate to Shema. They're meant to develop an Ava and Yira by us before we say Shema. Nevertheless, though, the fact of the matter is, the Chachamim made the Tachana, that those brachas go together with Shema, before and after it, respectively. Therefore, Shema is not considered a hesek, and therefore the bracha Emes V'yatziv is considered a bracha smocha l'chaverta. So we don't begin it with Baruch, but we do end it with Baruch. We end off with Baruch Ata Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. Now, when it comes to the bracha tova ha'metiv, we don't consider it a bracha smocha l'chaverta. We begin with baruch and we don't end with baruch. Miklal the bracha b'fnei asmei, which goes to show, therefore, that it's an independent bracha that was established after haruge beitar. We're allowed to be buried, and therefore that's another proof that's not daraisa. If it was daraisa, then we wouldn't start with baruch ata Hashem. We would just begin it like the other brachas of benching with some other nusach, like we begin the other ones, Noi Delacha and Rachem, and we would only finish because it would be brachas mocha l'chaverta.
So we would just finish with baruch.
Right. And in fact, we do it the other way around. So now there's a lot to talk about this. There's a lot to unpack over here. So Tosfos goes through a bunch of brachos that we say every day. Let's analyze, Tosfos says, and see which ones follow this rule and which ones seem to break this rule, and let's try to figure out why. So Tosfos starts out with, Asher Yosar, we do begin with Baruch. The reason is because even though in morning brachas we do say it after Alon Tzel Tzedayim, it's not necessarily that they go together. Sometimes you say Asher Yosar Vayitzov. If you go to the bathroom, right? You say, and until it's a dime also for that matter. Sometimes you can have you wash your hands. You're not necessarily right afterwards going to the bathroom. We're going to learn in the last perek of Or Masechta and Daf Samach, we're going to talk about the morning brachas. We're going to talk about the nusach of all the morning brachas. We're going to say over there that when you get down to it, all of them actually are not really brachas smocha l'chavacha, because the original idea was that each one of them you say when you become chayav in it. Nowadays, we just say them one after the other. But in the original din of the Gemara was, for example, that when you first hear the rooster crow, you say anes amasech livina. When you first open your eyes, you say pekeach ebrim, and those are not necessarily one after the other. When you get dressed, you say malbush arumim, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't do it that way, but therefore they're not brachas mocha l'chavata. Anyway. Then Tosfos continues. So therefore we say Baruch individually for each one. Anyway, then Tosfos continues that Elokai Neshama. Now what about Elokai Neshama? It's on the face of it, not necessarily Somuch Tasha Yotzer, because again, the same thing. You don't necessarily go to the bathroom and then immediately afterwards you say Asher Yotzer. You don't necessarily immediately say Elokai Neshama after that. So why doesn't it begin with Baruch? Tosfos says, okay, because it's only a Hadar Ba'alma. It's a praise to Hashem. It's not really a bracha per se. So therefore, so it ends with Baruch, but it's a little bit long because we talk about different topics in it. So therefore, we end with Baruch, but it's not really a bracha per se. It's more of a hadar. Although there is an interesting idea that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says on it that it is smocha l'chavata. It's samuch to hamakil. You say hamakil at night, you go to sleep, and then you wake up in the morning, and one of the first things you say. The original idea, again, in the last parak, we're going to learn that the original idea was as soon as you wake up, you say l'chaim neshama. As soon as you feel your neshama is back, you say Elokai Neshama. We don't do that nowadays because we have dirty hands when we wake up. We have Ruach Ra, whatever. We have to wash Negelvath, of course. Instead, we say Moda Ani. Moda Ani you will not find in the Gemara, but Moda Ani incorporates the basic theme of Elokai Neshama. But this way, it doesn't contain Hashem's name, and therefore we can say it even when our hands aren't clean. In Kuntas and Yonash Alteris Achsidus, the Rebbe talks about that very, very extensively, that you have the idea and explains according to Pshat and Remez and Jerush and Soid, the idea of Moda'ani and Chos Achsidus illuminates each one of them. No, it's not so much that you're Miskaven, but you're saying Moda'ani, and it takes the place of what in the times of the Gemara instead they would say Elokai Neshama at that point.
They didn't say
Moda'ani, apparently. But yeah, you have half of Kuntas and Yonash Alteris Achsidus talks about, which is translated into English also, on the essence of So there's half of it that Rebbe spends explaining about all the different angles on Moda Ani and the fact that a Moda Ani comes from a level of the Neshama that's impervious to Tumah, so therefore that person can be saying it even with Tomei hands, etc. Anyway, the original Din of the Gemara was that you say Elokai Neshama as soon as you wake up. Sort of Yaakov writes in his Kedushim that maybe in that sense, Elokai Neshama is a bracha smocha l'chavata of Hamafu. You say Hamafu, you go to sleep, and you wake up and you say Elokai Neshama. Yeah, okay, but it's not considered a hefsek the same way as Shema. It's not considered a hefsek between its brachas. Okay, then Tosfos goes on. There's a number of other brachas like that, where, for example, what we say after, in Korbanos, right, we say Shema, we say after who actually Nivra Ha'olam. So, okay, it's not really a bracha, it's more, it's a praise to Hashem. Then Tosfos goes on with some other ones. So when it comes to Vaharivna, it is actually, Tosfos learns that it is actually the continuation of the bracha of the bracha Shepherdishan Tosfos on Adi Vesera, or Lasik Adi Vesera. Vaharev is a direct continuation of it, therefore it doesn't begin with Baruch, Tosfos says, right? Other Rishonim disagree with that and say, by the way, that it is a separate bracha, but okay, Smukha Lachavacha, because you always say them together. Yishtabach is also like the bracha after Shema. It's considered a bracha Smukha Lachavacha, because you have Baruch Shomar, and then Pesuk Dizimmer, and then directly after it is Yishtabach. So it's considered bracha Smukha Lachavacha. For the same reason that Shema is not a hefsek between its brachas, right? Okay. Then Tosfos mentions one more interesting one, which is, what about the brachas before and after Kriyas HaTorah? We say Asher Bracha Banam is before and Asher Nosam Banam afterwards. Now, why does the after Bracha begin with Baruch Ata Hashem? If you're telling me that Bracha Smocha L'Chadacha should be and Kriya Shema or Pesukah D'Zimra are not considered a hefsek, then why is Kriya Tatera considered a hefsek? And Tosafot says because fundamentally the original way it worked, the Gemara Talmud in Mishnah and the Gemara Talmud in Megillah, the original way it worked is the first Oyla would say the before Bracha for the Torah and nothing else, then he would lay. All the other Oylem in between would not say any Brachas at all. The last Oyla, after he finished, the last Aliyah, would say the after Bracha. So therefore, it's two different people, and therefore it's not a Bracha Smocha L'Chavaka. Later on, the Chachamim changed it because the Gemara says there, because you have people come out and go in and come into Shul or leave Shul in the middle, and they're not going to know, they're going to think you don't have to make Brachas on it at all. And therefore, because of that, they made the takana that each person makes both brachas. But nevertheless, the nusach remained the same as it was. Okay. All right. So anyway, so Tosfos also talks about over here that, so the Gemara is saying over here that it doesn't, that begins with Baruch because it was established on a separate bracha, but why indeed doesn't it end with Baruch? The Tosfos answer is because the original nusach of it was a very short nusach. The original nusach of it was just Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Atah V'Amesim. So therefore, it would be like the brachas on Keres. Now it's extended. 1 second. So what happened afterwards? They made a takana that you have to mention Hashem's kingship in it three times. Hashem's goodness to us three times. We say who hated Lanu, who made Lanu, who yated Lanu, who gmol Lanu, who gain Lanu, who is Malenu. So we have it, and we have three mentions of Hashem's kingship in it. So then it became longer, but again they didn't change the format of it to add a Baruch Ata Hashem at the end. In effect, in a certain sense, the bracha ends with Al Yichasreinu, and you actually have a minute by the belt to say Omen at that point. It goes back to the higher order. Well, no. In other words, the bracha. Once the format of the bracha was established, that to begin with, it begins with Baruch and doesn't end. So even then, when they added more nusach to it, and it ends with Al Yichasreinu, then they still didn't put a bracha at the end of it. So technically, the bracha begins with Al Yichasreinu, and you have a minhag of the belt going back to the Chaya Adam to say Amen at that point. It's not on minhag, because in a certain sense, the Harachmans afterward are also considered a continuation of the bracha. So
why did they have to add this?
Because the Chum wanted to add. The Chum wanted us to realize it's not just a short thing, just to thank Hashem for our Ruga Deito and that. There's more to it. We want to mention all the goodness that Hashem does for us. So in a certain sense, the Harachmans, by the way, when we talk about an Amar Aleph, when we said that the guest gives the bracha to the Balabais, according to the Nuschois that have that is actually among the Harachman. In On Nusach, again, it's not, but it's one of the Harachmans. Harachman Yivarach is Abi Mori, Bala Baisazeh, Vesimi Morasi Bala Baisazeh. So therefore, it has to be that the Harachmans are considered part of the fourth bracha. Otherwise, you're saying them after benching, and then you would have to stick it into the fourth bracha, and we don't do that. So that shows that the Harachmans are considered part of the fourth bracha. So the Rebbe says, in principle, maybe what it is because at the end, we say very more Amen, so maybe at that point, the fourth bracha ends. Although, there is Lamais, we don't actually see people saying Amen at that point either.
Okay.
So all the Harachmans in that sense would be part of the bracha. Okay. Okay, the Amen of Nachman. We're still going through, the Gemara is trying to prove that the bracha tova meitiv is not daraisa. So we had so far Rabbi Yosef's proof that we see that workers don't say it. We had the proof from the braisa. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel's proof from the braisa that we see that since it begins with baruch, it shows that it's a separate entity of its own. And another one, Rabbi Nachman says, keda da tova meitiv la daraisa. Another proof that a tova meitiv is not daraisa. Sharei okra moitiv bevesa oval. Because you see that when you're eating in an oval house, you don't say the bracha, at least not in its regular form. Now, we don't see that nowadays, so hold on. Kedetanya, as we learn in a braisa, mahim omim... No, we don't, but wait. Wait. Mahim omim bevesa oval. What do they say in the house of an oval when they're eating? Instead, they say baruch hatov v'ametiv. The Tanakhama says they still say the same bracha hatov v'ametiv, but Rabbi Akiva omim baruch dayna emes. Rabbi Akiva says you don't. Instead, you say a bracha that begins baruch dayna emes. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Atov v'ametiv ein dayin emes loy. And what? According to the Tanakhama, you don't mention anything. You just say atov v'ametiv like regular. Ela ema af atov v'ametiv. No, what the Tanakhama is saying is you say both. Rabbi Akiva is saying you say only dayin emes. But we see that according to Rabbi Akiva, We see that according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't say the regular bracha tov ba'amidah in that case. So we see there now the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, the Pashtus, are not arguing on the basic concept of whether it's daraisa or derabanan. So they must be all, so therefore they all agree to derabanan. And since it's derabanan, then Rabbi Akiva would hold that we can take it away in a beis hachta. So what's that?
Arguing in the
they're just arguing about what you would do in a beis hachta. Right. So the Gemara tells, Mazutra equal Bei Rabashi. Mazutra one time visited the house of Rabashi. Itra Bei Milsa. Something bad had happened to Rabashi, which is the Gemara's way of saying that one of his relatives had passed away. So therefore Rabashi is in Abelos. So he began saying the bracha as follows. He, Rabashis, meaning Mazutra, began saying the bracha as follows. Hatova Mekiv. Kael Emes, Hashem of Truth, Dayan Emes, the true judge, Shefet B'Tzedek, who judges with justice, Lekeach B'Mishpat, who takes people's neshamas away with Mishpat, with judgment, the Shalit B'Olam El'Asas B'Kir Tzonei, he rules over his world to do, and does with it and does it according to his will, however he wants. Pichol Drach of Mishpat, because all of his ways are justice. Shakol Shaloi, because everything belongs to him. Va'anachnu Amei Va'avadav, we're his people and his servants. Uva'kol Anachnu Chayav. In everything that happens, we are obligated to thank Hashem and to bless him. Goyder Pirtis be Israel, the one who fixes up the breaches, who fences in the breaches of the Jewish people, who Yigder Pirtis be Israel l'chaim, may he fence in this breach among the Jewish people for life. In other words, that Hashem should make it that people don't have to die anymore, and there should be tzeis hamitzvah. So that would be the nusach. Tosfos quotes a slightly different nusach, and then continues with that. You continue with the regular harachmon who you mlechel and aloy lombard, etc. Now we don't say that nowadays. So technically, in Shulchan Aruch it says that we should. However, yes, it says that you should. However, it also says that you have achronim that argue that it's only meant to be said when you have 10 people together. And because of that, it's not very common that you have 10 people eating together by an oval house. In addition, also, you have rules. Many of them say you wouldn't say it on Shabbos, because in general, ain't avelos for fahesia. The Shabbos, you don't show avelos in public, you don't show public avelos on Shabbos. So therefore, it kind of fell out of use, because in practice, to have on a weekday that there should be 10 people eating by an oval house is not really very common. Okay.
But technically, it could be done. I mean, isn't that a simcha? When many people eat by someone,
I don't know. Necessarily the same time. The fact is, they're eating by him because he's an awful. But there is that argument that Achronim make, and the author ever brings it in Shulchan Aruch that in practice, we don't say it. Okay. Next, Laheichan Hu Chozer. The next question we have to ask is again, here we have Rashi versus Tosfos arguing what the next piece means. So let's first again start with Rashi. We said before that we talked about before that you have, let's say, a person who is a person joined in a mezuzah. Now we said before that you can have a case where one person has to wait for the other people to say the mezuzah. So the question is, laheichan hu chozer. So the question is, where does he have to when he goes back to finishing his meal, when he himself is finished and he himself is benching, where in benching does he return to? Rav Zvid Mishmei Da'abaya Amachoz Al-Rosh, so Rav Zvid says in the name of Abaya that he begins all the way at the beginning from the Bracha Hazdan, because after all there was a Kvirus of three, and therefore he was obligated in saying the entire benching, and he was supposed to be Yotzei with Mezuman, so therefore he would have to begin from Hazan. The Rabbanon say that even in that case, he would just begin with no delacha, just like as if he was eating by himself. In other words, again, he stopped his meal, listened to them benching until Hazon HaSakurl, until the end of Nevarich, or Hazon HaSakurl, as the case may be. Now, when later on, he himself is finishing eating, and he's going to bench, what point does he begin from? Sort of Zvid Mishmei Da'abai is saying from the beginning.
Question to begin with.
Because, if you say, because was he Yotze Hazon with them? So
he was just, let's say he was Yotze Hazon. You wouldn't say
that we just said before. We learned on Amud Aleph that according to Rashi, a Yochid does not say the Bracha Hazan. It's part of the Bracha of Mezuman. But in this case, it's a little bit different because over here he heard
not three people.
There were, but two of them already finished benching, and he's going to be benching later on. Whether they're present or not, it doesn't matter. The point is, he heard mezuman from them. So therefore, sort of zid is saying doesn't matter. He has to start over from the beginning and say hazan as well, because he has an obligation to say hazan. And you can't say that he was yoseh with theirs, because then he continued eating. So therefore, he has to start over. At verabbanon, I mean the makom shapasek, the rabbanon said no. He was still yoseh hazan with them. And just like in general, we learned on Amud Aleph that according to Rav Sheshes, we said that a yachid does not say hazan at all because it's considered part of birkas. So the same way over here, he doesn't say it because of no delacha.
We still say.
1 second. The hilchazal makom shapasek the halacha as he starts over just from where he broke off, meaning from no delacha. Now again, that's all according to Rashi. Again, you have the same problem that what do you mean that hazan as hakol shouldn't be obligatory on a yachid? So besides the explanation, besides what we talked about on Amud Aleph, Tosfos over here talks about that what we mean is again we're referring to. Tosfos gives two other explanations. One is laheichan hu chozer means like this. When you're doing a mezuman, we said that the one who's leading benching says nebarach shalchan mishaloi, and everybody else answers baruch shalchan mishaloi to rechinu. The question is, after they said baruch shalchan mishaloi, does he have to repeat that line baruch shalchan mishaloi to rechinu? Lamak chozer l'rosh means that he has to also say baruch shalchan mishaloi to rechinu. He said Nevarech Shalchan Mishaloi. They answered Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu. Does he have to say Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu as well before beginning bench?
He didn't say it initially. No.
He said Nevarech and they said Baruch. So that's the question. So Chozer L'Rosh would mean that he does have to repeat Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu, and the Rabbanon are saying that he doesn't. I said that wrong. What Tosfos says is, if we say Chozer L'Rosh, then it would mean that after they said Baruch Shalchan L'Mishaloi to Rechayinu, he would have to repeat Nevarech Shalchan L'Mishaloi to Rechayinu. He would have to repeat the invitation Nevarech, let us bless Hashem. Whereas Lamakim Shapasek means he just repeats the last line that they said, which is Baruch Shalchan L'Mishaloi to Rechayinu, which of course is the halacha. So either way, you have to say something. Either way, he has to say something, because when they're saying Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu, it wouldn't be right that he's not saying anything with them. He invited them to bless, and then he himself is not going to be blessing, then it's not appropriate. So he should be saying something. So does he repeat the invitation to Baruch, but this time adding Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu, like they did, or does he repeat Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu, and the halacha is the second one? So that's one explanation, according to Tosfos, of what our Gemara means. So nothing to do with a Yachid saying Hazan or not.
Then, initially, he would have not have said.
Okay, so he says, the original idea was, he says, Nevarech Shalchan Mishaloi, and they answer Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu. The question is, what does he respond to that? Does he respond, Nevarech Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu, or does he respond, Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu? And the halacha is, he responds, Baruch. Then Tosfos brings another explanation from Moshe Me'ivra, that we're referring back to the case that we had on Memheo Mabez, where you had three people ate together, one of them left in the middle, and we said he doesn't have to actually come back and sit down with them for Mezuman. He can stand where he is in the street and hear them say in the Mezuman and respond. So now the question is, when he himself is going to bench, then where does he start from? Does he begin from Nevarech? And the halacha is he begins from Hazan, the Makom Shapasek, from the place where he broke off. He heard them saying Mezuman until Baruch Shalchan Mishaloi to Rechinu. He himself, when he benches, begins from that point, which is Hazan. Okay. So those are the various explanations of this Gemara. Okay. Next. Let's talk about how you do things at a meal. Amalei Resh Galusa Lerav Sheshes. The Resh Galusa, who was descended from Malchus Beis David, he was the governor of the Jewish people in Bavel, and he was a government official himself, kind of.
He was recognized.
He was recognized by the Malchus. He answered to them. He would often go visit them, whatever. So Amalei Resh Galusa Lerav Sheshes. So one time the Resh Galusa said to Rav Sheshes, Afagav de Rabbanon Kshishi Atun, even though you are elder Rabbanon, and therefore we would think that you know everything, Parsoi, Kshishi means elderly, Parsoi, B'tzorchi Suda B'kiyim Inayichu, you should know, he says, the Persians are more expert than you, Chachamim, in the proper way to do things by a meal. They do as follows. He says, Manchen Shtei Mitzvahs, if you only have two couches, because you have two people that are eating together, so each person is reclining on their couch. Rashi describes the feet are on the ground. He's just leaning on his left side, like we do Haseba by Pesach. And you have also, by the way, you have other Rishonim learn that it means that the feet are also off the ground. Whatever. Anyway, the point is you have two of them. So Godol Mesa Barosh Rishen Lo Lamayla Himenu. The greatest person over there sits at the head of the table. Not at the head, but they had individual tables for themselves. Barosh means he's the first one to recline. V'sheni lo lamayla himenu. Then the second one is above him, meaning, in other words, that the second one's couch is placed. So you have here's the first one's couch with his head over here. The second one then sits over here with his head over here.
So, staying away from him?
Yeah, so his feet. So they're not his feet. So wait. So one second. And it was Manchem Sholosh, and if you have three of them, then Godol Mesa Ben. So then the Rish Galusa says the way the Persians do it is the greatest one does a Seba in the middle, Sheni Lo Lamayla him. And the second highest ranking person is still above him, higher than him, meaning in other words facing away from the Godol's head. And the third one is lower down. So in other words, then what you have is, if you have three of them, then the Gadol is in the middle over here with his head over here. The second one is over here with his head over here.
So the Gadol sees the other one.
So the Gadol, in effect, what he sees is, well, not his feet or the bottom of it, whatever. And then the third one is down over here, and he sees the Gadol's feet or the bottom of the body or whatever. Yeah.
So more elaborate than the Jewish way of doing it.
Ah, one second. Omalei. So Rav Sheshet says, how is that any good? So what happens if the Gadol wants to speak with the second most important person? Mitzvah Terutziv Yosef Mashtoi Badei. Does he have to sit up in order to speak with him in the middle of the meal? He should be able to stay reclining the whole time. Like this, he can't see the other guy's face because it's too far away. So what's the logic of doing it that way? Omalei. So the Rish Galusa tells him, not a problem. Shiny Parsoi Demachavi Leib Mochoi. The difference is that the Persians during the meal, they don't speak. If one of them wants to say something to somebody else, they use sign language. So therefore, there's no problem. He doesn't have to see the other guy's head or the other guy's face in order to be able to talk with him.
So they cannot praise Hashem if they don't speak.
This is the Persian we're talking about. The Reish Kolosa is informing him what the minhagim of the Persians are by meals. We know Bechlal. I mean, we have even in Gilas Esther, the Persians were great at arranging banquets, right? So the Reish Kolosa is saying that even now,
they used to do it.
Well,
finding people.
Yeah, I guess so. Mitzvah, or whatever. Yes. Yeah. So the Reish Galusa is telling him that even now we're 500 years after Achashverosh, and the Persians still have this expertise at arranging a sukkah. Okay. Next. So the Persians only speak in sign language during the meal, so therefore it's no problem if one of them doesn't see the other one.
So clearly, sign language, and they don't see each other's face.
Because they don't have to. You can speak in sign language using your hands. So therefore,
but they don't see the hands.
Why would not? So the guy can stick out his hands.
The top of the line is not going to see the back of the line.
Fine. There's a limit how much you can do. I mean, if you're going to have that many people, then you're only going to have people. We're assuming people are only going to be talking with the people who are ranked close to them. Maybe that's why Rashi makes the point that their feet were on the ground. So either way, his head is not facing the other guy's feet. It's just facing the other guy's back. Okay.
So then therefore they cannot see each other.
But they can still see each other's hands. Your hands you can stick out. Okay. Next. Rav Sheshet asks him, okay, my Rishonim Mehechan Maschilim, when it comes to washing before the meal, Rav Sheshet says to the Reish Galusa, how do the Persians do that? Now, of course, they don't have the mitzvah of washing their hands, but practically speaking, you would want to wash your hands so they're clean for the meal, especially since they ate with their hands.
They would do that.
Not with a bracha like we do, but whatever. So Rav Sheshet asks him, where do they begin then? Amalei min Agado. So he says, they start from the greatest person there. She says, what's the logic? Yeshu Gadol v'yishma yadav ad shenotlam kolon. And what is that poor guy then supposed to sit there just washing his hands to make sure they don't get dirty and not talking and not anything until everybody else washes? Yeah. Amalei, so the Reish Galus answers him, no, because what they do is la'alter maisu tako kamei. Because what they do is right after he washes, they bring the tray in front of him. They bring him his personal table so that way he can right away start eating. So he doesn't have to wait for everybody else to wash. He right away starts eating while everybody else is still washing. Okay. Next, Rav Sheshet asks him.
So 1 second. If how do they say Zimun at
so this is Goyim we're talking about. This is the Persians. Persians we're talking about. So there's some brachas, so not really an issue.
Yeah.
Next, Mayim Achronim Mehechem Aschilim. Next, where do they begin Mayim Achronim? Now again, we have Mayim Achronim as the Tachana of the Chachamim, but they also have, again, practically speaking, you ate with your hands are greasy and filthy or whatever, so you have to wash them at the end. So where do they begin that? Amalei Min HaKatan. So the Reish Gal also says that the Persian banquet, they begin it from the lowest ranking person there. So Rav Sheshet says, what's the logic? The Gadol Yosef, the Yadav, the Zohama, such a noise on Kolom. And what is the oldest person supposed to sit there with his hands filthy until everybody washes? Again, we assume, Rav Sheshet assumes, that it means they took away the tray tables from everybody else at the same time. So now the guy's just sitting there bored, when waiting. Omalei, so the Reish Gal also says, let me stop you, tap from the Kamei, ad nimti maya legabei. What they do is they leave the table by him. He can still continue eating while everybody else is washing maya machronim. And then at the end, when it comes time for him to wash my machronim, then they take his table away. Okay, so everything is transferred. But Omer of Sheshet, nevertheless, Rav Sheshet says, you're trying to bring proofs from the Persians. You're saying that they're experts at this. Never mind Persians. I'm not Masnissi, Yadina. I know what it says in a bright set. We're not learning proper behavior in meals from the Persians. We're going to learn from a bright set. The time that we learn in a brisa, case that say there has said, but what's the proper way of reclining at a meal? Bizman shen shtei mitzvahs, when there were only two of them, then fine, we do like the Persians did. Gadol mesa, no, then we do the other way around. Gadol mesa b'raish v'shein le l'mata himenu. Then we do the gadol, the reclines first, and the second one is l'mata himenu. Not like the Persians did where they make it l'mayla himenu, where then you have the problem that the gadol, l'mayla meaning again, that his back, is facing towards the gadol, and then you have the problem that Rav Sheshet pointed out that now the gadol can't see the sheni lo's face.
Right.
So we do it the other way around. What we do is that the sheni lo is l'mata himenu, he's lower down. This way, the gadol can still be reclining, and his face though is still he can, so like this. You have when the gadol is reclining with his face over here, and the katan meanwhile is over here with his face towards in the direction of the gadol's feet. So if the gadol wants to speak with him, it's very easy. He can just look over and speak.
So they're facing each other.
So they're not really facing each other. You still have the gadol's head is here, and the sheni's head is over here. But like this, you have, you can still see. It's easier for him to see down his body than it is to see up the other guy's body.
In the previous situation, he was looking away.
He was looking away
the line.
He was looking. No, he's still looking up the line, but he's looking along the guy's back or feet or whatever until his head. Now, like this, he just has to look down beyond his own
right.
So he doesn't have to. He still doesn't have to sit up straight to talk with the guy. He can lean over a little bit and talk with him.
They were on their side.
You don't need. Yeah. Bizman shen sholish mitzvahs. When you have three couches, gadol meisa b'rosh. Then again, the gadol reclines first. Sheni lo l'mayla himenu. The second one is above because there's no choice. You can't have the shlishi that far away from the gadol. Shlishi lo l'mata himenu. And then the third one is going to be l'mata himenu. So this way, okay, it's better. In other words, Rashi says the point is. So fine, if he wants to talk directly with somebody, he'll talk with the third-ranking person. If he wants to speak with the second-ranking person, okay, he's going to have to sit up. But at least it's better than having to degrade the second person to put him below the third person. By the way, the Rebbe points out in the Haggadah, in his notes on the Haggadah, when we have Maaseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, b'Rabbi Yeshua, etc., so why are they listed in that order? One reason is based on this Gemara over here. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Nasi, so he goes in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are the senior Rabbanim over there. They're the Rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, they go above him. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the middle. And then Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon further down.
They were all leaning on the side.
They were all reclining on couches. Yeah. Okay. Continues the bright.
Facing one direction.
Okay. Next, continues Rav Sheshet, the Braitha tells us, Maim Rishonim Aschilim Nagadol, when it comes to Maim Rishonim, you do begin from the greatest one present over there, and then, as the Reish Gal also had said, the Persians do, you immediately bring him his food, so he can start eating. Maim Achronim, and when it comes to Maim Achronim, not just like the Reish Gal also said the Persians do, which is you always begin from the coffin, what you do is like this. Bizman Shem, Hey, Maschilim Nagadol. If you have five or fewer people over there, then you begin from the Gadol. Because then there's not that much time that he's going to have to wait while everybody else is washing their hands. Or with Manche Meya, if there's 100, and it doesn't mean literally 100, it means any more than 5, then maschilim in a katan, then you begin from the katan while the five are still eating, ad shemagim etel hay, until you reach the fifth, the last five people, and then bechozer maschilim in a gadol, then you begin from the gadol. Because the idea is the gadol is going is usually going to be the one leading benching,
right?
And you want to have so Rishonim explain you want to give the person who's going to be leading benching time to think over the words of benching to prepare himself, and that's the Chachamim figured out that the time when the other four people are washing is enough time for him to do that.
So if there's five or more,
you start with the katan and you start working up from there. And then when you reach the last five people, then you begin from the gadol and go downward from there. So that way the gadol has, or whoever is going to be leading benching, it has time to think over benching. And wherever you start the last people with mayim achronim, that is the one who's going to say the bracha. So the Gemara says, "Messiah le Marav." This supports what Rav says. The Amar of Chiba Asher Marav, Kol Amnotol Yodah Ba'Achronis Chila. Whichever one in the last group is the first one to wash my Achronim, whom is Zuman LeBracha? He's the one who is designated is going to be leading bench. So we have in that to give him time. So as we have the story, which we had the other day in the Gemara, in that connection, Rav Rav Chia Abu Yasu B'Sodata Kamei the Rebbe, that Rav and Rav Chia were sitting at a soda in front of Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe le Rav Kum Moshi Yodah. So Rebbe says to Rav, "Get up and wash your hands." Chazia to come their test. Rav Chia saw that Rav was trembling. He was nervous because why is Rebbe telling me to wash my hands? Either it means that my hands are filthy or he's telling me you ate too much. Amalei, so Rav Chia tells him, don't worry, by Pasti, son of great people, I in Birkas Mazonah Kamalachi telling you to start thinking over benching because you're going to be leading benching. So we see that's how you work it, is the fifth to last person is the one who should be, is the one who you should give him my machronim, and this way he'll have a chance to look over benching, and while the other four people are washing.
We do not do this.
So we don't do all of this exactly nowadays. I mean, as far as my machronim, nowadays that we don't have separate tray tables, in principle, so you have some people take the view that the gadol should wash last, because that way he doesn't have to sit as long to go there quietly. Some people do it one way, some people do it the other way. Some people don't make a particular seder in it. Some people, it says in Shulchan Aruch, do make a point that the gadol should wash last, so that he's not having to wait while everybody else is washing.
When they had, let's say, 15 people, they used to make a circle?
Or? I don't know, maybe. I guess. I guess they would just be around the sides of the room, I guess, yeah. Anyway, as far as my machronim, also then you have the same basic idea that usually my machronim, you begin from the cotton, and as the Gemara is going to talk about, we'll talk about tomorrow, Beis Hashem, that what it is there's a concept the Gemara is going to talk about, we'll learn tomorrow, that you're not mechabed with dirty hands. You're not saying that I'm giving you kavod to wash my machronim first, because you don't give kavod at a time like that when your hands are dirty. So it's not really so much a matter of covered of the person over here. It's covered for the bracha. You want to give him time to look over the bracha and be able to bench properly. That's why we said you start from the cup, and then eventually when it comes to the last five, you start from the gutter. Not so much to honor him, but to honor the bracha that he's going to be leading. Okay. Yeah.